Hello, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to this edition of Hard Worker on the PTJG Broadcast Network. This show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to some of the nation's most innovative companies as he explores the career journeys of these very influential individuals. And it's all done with a very honest and entertaining filter. But you might notice something a little different about today's host. It's, missing the job guy. And when Pete is away, Lori saves the day. There's only one person who fills Pete's shoes when he's away from the mic, and that's Lori Day. Take it away, Lori.
Greetings, all of you hard workers out there. Welcome to the Hard Worker Radio Show. I'm Lori Day. I'm your regular takeover host, and I have the pleasure of being with you when Pete stops working hard and actually takes a well-deserved break. So I'm delighted to be here with you. This show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. In fact, some of the content comes directly from you. Folks, if you have a work situation or an idea you'd like Pete and his guests to talk about on the air, you can send him a note on email at pete@petethejobguy.com. Who knows? Your topic might be the thing that inspires a whole episode. And each week, we have expert guests from all different fields that are here to share their tips and experiences with you to help you. And here at Hard Worker, we like to say that we focus on feed forward, not just feedback. Instead of thinking about correcting something in the past, we're really focused on taking those lessons learned and experiences, both hard knocks and good things, and having you be able to apply those to you so you can maybe avoid some pitfalls and, who knows, take your dreams to where you want them. And so today you're just going to love hearing from my guest. It's Meg Rose. She's the Vice President of Field Operations at Firehouse of America. But before we dive in, I want to do a quick shout out to the team who makes all this happen. First and foremost, our phenomenal producer, Josh. We love you. You're the one that makes the magic happen. And it just so happens that he's had some history with Pete and our contributors. You're going to hear from them a little bit later in the show. We have Coach Larry, who brings our leadership lessons to us, and none other than Boston Danny, who always brings laughter and a lot of fun. So you think, okay, how did this really wild, diverse group come together for Hard Worker Radio? Well, it really, when you tie it back, it's Pete's relationships and his network. I mean, I think Danny and Pete started their journey together when they both got on a plane and went to boot camp. I mean, crazy, up in Boston, and that's where they met. That was probably 100 years ago or something like that. And then when Larry and Pete were working together, they became colleagues, and I think that was probably 20 years ago at Merrill. Larry came into Merrill, I think, shortly either when I was leaving or afterwards, but Pete and I also worked at Merrill. So you can see we've had this, like, you know, long history. And by building those intersections of those meetings and getting to know each other into relationships and friendships and an understanding of what each other does, it became then the energy and the passion around saying yes when Pete was like, I've got this crazy idea. I'm going to have this radio show, this podcast, this event, and then became a broadcast network for helping other people realize their career dreams. And so I liken that story to, in the corporate workplace, to mentors and sponsors. And so I challenge all of our hard workers today to think about, who are the mentors and sponsors in your life? And how are you nurturing those relationships? And you might think, okay, those terms are synonymous, but actually there's some unique things I want you to think about. A mentor is someone that can teach you some things, who can give you some coaching or show you new ways. They're there to encourage you or maybe listen to you, basically help you grow. And that's a great thing. And a sponsor, quite frankly, can do a lot of that too. But the unique difference is a sponsor is the one who is your referrer and an advocate. A sponsor is someone who will put their name associated with yours and your skill sets and go on your behalf to help influence someone else, perhaps encourage them to hire you. Or if you're in a sales relationship, maybe they can talk about how great your services or your products are and help someone make that decision. But again, they're really someone who's taking you, your skills, your capabilities to someone else they can influence on your behalf. They're both important roles to have in your life and in your career. And, you know, if you think about who are the people who are playing those roles today for you, and if you don't have maybe someone who fills those roles, just kind of think about who you would want to bring on board. I liken it to building your own personal board of directors, you know, someone who's going to, you know, challenge you and make sure you're not running off the rails with something. And someone else might be the one who's your cheerleader, but you definitely need a mentor, someone who can help you grow and learn new things and expand your ideas and thoughts. And you need a sponsor, someone who will advocate for you when maybe you aren't there. So all that together, I mentioned that we were gonna hear from Meg Rose today. Meg and I go back, not terribly far, but it has been, I guess, 4 years ago, because we are in the Leadership Jacksonville class of 2017, which is the most influential class, by the way, for all of my other LJ listeners out there. And we met during that year cohort and have been friends and have also been engaged in a lot of different networks per se. So I certainly feel like I would love to be a sponsor for Meg in any way I could, because I know her skills and abilities are top notch and would vouch for her in many places. So we're going to hear about her. But before we dive in and I tell you a little bit more about her, Pete wanted me to make sure I mentioned that the Firehouse meatball sub with all the trimmings is his favorite. So he was so excited when I let him know that you would be my guest today. So thank you for being on the Hard Worker Show. And I'd love to just kick it off and have you tell us a little bit about your career journey.
Sure. I hate to tell people how long it's been, so I don't want to do that. But I've been in the restaurant industry for many years. Started in college, working my way through, I think like a lot of folks in the industry do, and then found that I was good at it. You know, I think it's predominantly a people business. And so kind of worked my way up. I was a waitress, a bartender. And then a few years ago, I was asked to be a manager at Fridays, TGI Fridays, which back then was the restaurant chain. I mean, if you were going to be anybody, you're going to work for Fridays. And they had a tremendous training program. So I ended up doing that, and having that on my resume actually opened a lot of doors for me. And I just kept moving through the industry, worked for some big chains, if you will, Chi-Chi's back when, oh my gosh, they had the best margaritas. And then spent a considerable amount of time, almost 14 and a half years, with an Applebee's franchisee in upstate New York. So I started with Matt. He had one restaurant. I left when he had 62. I was running half the company and kind of took a little bit of time off, but then found my way to Jacksonville, Florida. And I still remember almost 14 years ago, I saw an ad for a position which was called a manager of franchise compliance. Like, if that doesn't have a creepy sound to it, compliance is always kind of an interesting word. But I looked at the job description and it said, you know, you had to know operations and marketing and construction. And I said, man, I did all of this with my Applebee's franchisee, you know, let me kind of, and it was this company called Firehouse Subs, who I had never heard of. I've been living in Jacksonville for 2 years, and no word of a lie, there was a Firehouse four doors down from where I lived. Never been in. So I did decide it would be a good idea to go in and have one before I went to my first interview. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to sometimes in this industry, a lot of industries, it's not what you know, although I knew a lot, sometimes it's who you know. Well, it turns out that the president of the company at that time at Firehouse Subs, who is now our CEO, Don Fox, used to work for my Applebee's franchisee. So, I mean, small world. So, Don called Matt. I guess I got a good reference and I got offered the job. And that was 13 and a half years ago, and went right in the middle of the recession, which was a very interesting time to be in the restaurant industry. And, you know, I did that job and then took over running our company operations. And now I'm vice president. So gone from 272 restaurants to 1,180 during that time frame. And it's been a fantastic ride.
Awesome. Thank you. And when I think about just that journey, it sounds like there were some sponsors and mentors along the way for you. Talk to us about, you know, making some leaps of faith and how, you know, maybe some of those roles in your life contributed to either forging ahead or pulling back, or just love to hear that.
Sure. You know, it's funny, people who know me now don't believe it, but I'm incredibly shy, was very much in high school and college. Like, I was that person who knew the answer but would never raise their hand. And when I started working for Chi-Chi's, I was a dining room manager, and my general manager, this cranky old Greek guy named Jake, he was awesome. He was cranky though, but he's cranky to everybody, so it was okay. But I remember we would have these manager meetings, and I would go up to him after. I'd say, "Hey, I have this idea," and he finally looked at me and he goes, "For God's sakes, Meg, you know, you gotta talk up." He said, "We don't have time for this. You have some great ideas. You've got to speak up." And so I did. I started doing that, and more kind of came out of my shell, if you will. So Jake and I worked together for a little bit, and his advice was great. And then my Applebee's franchisee, he was a gentleman who has an incredible restaurant background. But what he did, and I was one of the first four general managers and then moved up and all that. From the beginning, the core group of us were really involved in a lot of the decisions for the company. And he put more responsibility on me and other folks in my position to the point that I had no idea how well-rounded of a background that he had given me. And he was, you know, Matt was always one that he believed. And I remember my first interview with him, he said, "Look," and the industry was a little didn't really happen this way, but he would say, "Look, I don't care. Your seniority is valuable. I appreciate it, but you're not going to get promoted on seniority. You're going to get promoted on performance. And if I ever ask you to move and you turn it down, your name will not be blacked off the company picture," which in the restaurant industry at that time was not the norm. I mean, you kind of did, and that's my little puppy, sorry, in the background. But anyway, that was really critical. So I could do what I needed to do and learn, but I also didn't have this pressure of I didn't move or uproot my entire life. I was never going to have a future in the industry. And I did move quite a few times for him. And then Robin Sorensen and, you know, the brothers, the founders of Firehouse, when I took over the company operations, although I was really working in theory for Don Fox, I was working for the brothers. They owned the restaurants. So I would get those calls in the middle of the night, and they were tremendous to work for. I've never worked for two people who had such appreciation for hard work. I mean, I would get these calls or these emails going, "Oh my gosh, this is amazing and wonderful." And after like two or three years, I'm like, you know, most other people are like, "That's, you're doing your job." But they were so appreciative and understanding, and especially for our restaurant general managers, what a hard job it is. So when you have people like that, that believe in you and you learn from them, it's really easy to turn that around and do the same thing for other folks. And I really try hard, and I think I've been successful at really being both a mentor and a sponsor. I've really been able to see some people move in positions within the organizations that I don't think they ever aspired to. We've been able to make that happen. And man, there is no better feeling. We just actually the other day promoted someone to a district manager that I think never thought he would ever get that opportunity. And man, that is such an awesome feeling when you're able to do that. It's really, hey, you worked hard, you believe in what we believe in, and you took every advantage you could, and you took care of our guests, and you took care of your employees. So it's really very gratifying when you see things like that happen.
Wow, that's fantastic. And you know, when I hear that about just having affirmation and, you know, sometimes recognition is big fanfare, but just the word of thank you, great job. It's not a lot actually to say it, but it takes intentionality to remember to tell people, particularly that are doing a great job, and you can count on there, and they're consistently doing that. You have to be intentional about saying thanks, because you can get caught up in your own thing. And by just pausing to be able to do that, what a difference it makes. So good for them, and good for you for doing that. So I hear the music right now, which means we are going to take a quick break and listen to a message from our show sponsor. You are listening to The Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, although I'm not Pete, and on the all-new PTJG Broadcast Network.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, partner at Ascendo Resources right here in Jacksonville. Chances are we already know each other because I've been in staffing right here in Jacksonville for 20 years. I'm actually surrounded by a team of staffing professionals that come to work every day and have fun and work hard. If you aren't getting the talent that you need, let me make your life easier. It's one call, 904-479-9610. That's 904-479-9610. And remember, here at Ascendo Resources, we're bringing back the hustle.
Welcome back, hard workers. Again, I am Lori Day, your takeover host, filling in for Pete once again. And my guest is Meg Rose. She is the Vice President of Field Operations with Firehouse of America. And if you missed the first part of this interview, you're going to want to make sure you go back and listen to it. But I want to pick up where we were. We were talking about the gift of being intentional about recognizing people's hard work, saying things like, thank you, great job. You know, we think about big recognition, but those moments where you're maybe in the trenches and you know everybody's just killing it, to be able to stop and say thank you. So Meg, talk to us a little bit more about that. I think that's a really powerful part of being an employer and an employee.
Yeah. And I learned a long time ago, I think a very hard lesson, that as you move up in the ranks, it is even more critical that you understand the impact of your saying thank you or not to people lower in ranks. And so, you know, I've worked really hard to make sure whenever I go in a restaurant or I'm sending an email that I am saying hello to everybody, saying the same things, because as you get higher up, people view your actions or lack of actions as possibly a reflection on their performance. So if you walk into a restaurant, you don't say hi to somebody, they're looking at it going, oh gosh, what have I done? Or so, I mean, that was a hard lesson to learn. And it's one, you know, one of the things I love about Robin Sorensen, our founder, is he will go into a restaurant and he will talk to every employee, he will talk to every guest. And it doesn't matter who they are, what they do. And that was a really, you know, one I learned the earlier lesson earlier in my career, but watching Robin with crew members, I mean, it's a great lesson to learn, and understanding that your position, people may not know who you are, but when they know your position, that those little things are even more critical and can mean so much more. So I really try hard to make sure I do that.
That's great advice. And so if you're someone out there and you're a leader, that might be a great takeaway from today. And if you're a teammate, I would even say that when you're working side by side with someone and you know you're both hustling, because that's what hard workers do around here, we hustle, that you say, man, I know you're working really hard, great job today. And you don't have to be in a hierarchy position either to help someone feel like, you know, their efforts aren't lost in the shuffle. So great. So Meg, I'd love to kind of think about when you see yourself 5 years from now. You've had a great journey. You've shared with us the I wouldn't even say it's a ladder. It's more like a rock wall, you know, where you kind of go to the side, you go up, you go over, and you've kind of done that in a rock wall fashion. But what does 5 years from now look for, like for you?
I'd love to sit here and say that I'm retired. Could be. I don't think I'll ever fully retire. You know, I'd love to, if I'm not still with Firehouse, and we, you know, which I can't imagine working anywhere else, if anyone out there is listening and thinking that I've, no, I mean, I see at the end of my restaurant career with Firehouse, but I'd love to, whether it's in 5 years or 10 years, do some consulting or continue to do volunteer work. You know, I work on a bunch of different boards, and would certainly continue to do that, but we've got some great things happening at Firehouse, a lot of growth. So I'm hoping I just continue to build my team there, continue to build our franchise organization, and just continue to do what I can for the next 5 years. But after retirement, you know, I can't see myself not working anymore. I would like to work not as hard, because the restaurant industry is a hard one. You know, there's a lot of hard industries out there, but it's, you know, Monday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the only days of the year I think I can really kind of relax are Christmas and Thanksgiving because we're closed, meaning all of our restaurants. But, you know, it goes on till, you know, opening in the morning and then at night. And we've got restaurants out west, so then there's a time zone. So I'd like to not maybe worry about that quite as much as I do now, but I'll definitely would love to either consult or again, continue to work in nonprofits.
Well, that, I mean, that is an interesting thing, because that's one of the things I wanted to talk about twofold. I know you are very active in a lot of different organizations. You're on boards with Angelwood. You have been involved in a variety of things. And I recall that a while back, maybe in 2010, 2011, that there was an award you received on behalf of Firehouse that was the Public Safety Foundation Award. And I know personally, and for those that are listening around the country and around the world, we have listeners all over. If you haven't had a Firehouse sub when you come to the United States, you definitely need to find one. But part of the backbone of Firehouse is really giving back. I'd love to have you talk a little bit about that part of Firehouse and your role in operations and how pivotal that is for the organization and your role to give back.
Yeah, I mean, part of our company values have always been giving back to the community. And in the first few years the company was in business, they did it, you know, they supported MDA, they did a lot of different things. But the brothers, who are really firefighters, there's over 200 combined years of firefighting in their family. They got involved in Katrina, and they went down with the thought of feeding first responders, and ended up feeding first responders, survivors, and really seeing firsthand the devastation that that storm created. So on their way back to Jacksonville, there's about 12 of them, I think, Robin or Chris, one of them looked at the other and said, we can do more, we should do more, we need to do more. And that was when the Firehouse Public Safety Foundation started. So that was 2005. So we were actually, September 7th was their 15th anniversary or birthday, however you want to call that for a nonprofit. In that time, they've given back $53 million worth of equipment back to first responders, whether firemen, policemen, EMT, educational things, and so on. So that's inherent in what we do. We call the foundation the heart of Firehouse Subs. A significant number, amount of money is raised through our employees. 70% is raised through our guests in our restaurants. So the foundation is very critical. But within Jacksonville, when I took over the company restaurants, which was back during the recession, Robin and Chris and Don didn't exactly give me open dollars, but pretty darn close to be able to support whatever organizations that we could. So for example, JDRF, Junior Diabetes Research Foundation, we've been supporting for, gosh, I think over maybe 13 years. I know all the time that I've been with the company. And there's some other fantastic organizations with Jacksonville or within Jacksonville that we do as well. The Outpost, Patriots Outpost at Players, Junior Achievement, JDRF has a special place in my heart, though, which I believe Pete does as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But man, you know, when you meet families that are impacted by type 1 diabetes, there's no relief from it. So when your child, you know, I don't think a parent ever stops worrying you can't. There's no cure, so it's managing it, and it impacts the entire family. And so to be able to work toward a cure for that has really been a great direction of ours at Firehouse. But the Public Safety Foundation, man, it's when you get to meet somebody whose life has been saved by a piece of equipment that we donated, there is no better feeling. And when a lot of it's being done, or the funds are being generated by our crew members, so you can look at a 16-year-old and say, hey, your efforts in getting a guest to buy a $2 pickle bucket, you saved someone's life. Now, where does that happen? And we have 16, 17, all the way up to 80-year-old people who get that. And so that's been a tremendous part of what we do. It's just really inherent in our DNA.
That's awesome. And yes, you are right. Pete is also a big sponsor for the JDRF. I think you guys are going to be next to each other at the big gala. He's Pete the Job Guy is the bar sponsor. So let's talk a little bit about the gala coming up in case anyone in the local community is interested in learning more. It's coming up on the 17th, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing it virtually this year. They've kind of moved to that, which is, I mean, it's always been a fun event. I mean, the silent auction, the live auction, they just have really done it very well. So anyway, it's virtual this year. In fact, I had lunch with Brooks just yesterday. There'll be, I think, 3 or 4 live auction items. They're doing videos. You'll get to meet parents of and children who are impacted by type 1. There's a silent auction that they're opening up 3 days before, and they always have really awesome items.
So is there a website that our listeners go to?
There is, and I feel terrible. I don't have it. I believe if you do JDRF, I bet I could probably find it while we're talking. But, you know, it's unfortunate that they have to kind of move that way because of COVID. But I think knowing them and what a class act they are, I think the event will really be something special.
Well, that's fantastic. So I'd like to pick up on a comment you made about COVID. Life is different right now, for sure. And gosh, I remember the last time I did the show was, I think, the day that everything kind of closed down, Josh, if I'm not mistaken. We had our little hankies over our microphones and studio, and now here we are, a little different than that. But yeah, life has changed. So what has COVID, talk to us about COVID and Firehouse. What's the hope ahead? I guess let's not focus just on the doom and gloom, but what's the hope ahead for that?
You know, we've been very, very lucky. We have tremendous franchisees and a tremendous team. So when the bottom fell out, which I think we can put back to like March 15th, we had a couple rough weeks, five to six, where our sales dropped considerably. And you sit there, you don't know, none of us knew what was going to happen. You know, I can remember sitting with my CEO and really wondering what the ultimate damage was going to be, how many of our franchisees were going to be able to make it through. Fortunately, again, I can't even say enough about the leadership at Firehouse. Very quickly, there was a team put together that at the time we called it the COVID team. Now it's called the Strike Force. And there are 12 of us on that team. And they were picked because they were the people who managed the departments that needed to be very nimble, be able to make decisions very quickly, and then get those decisions out. And so very quickly, we did things within the restaurants that we probably would never have done. Changed some shelf life on things, used plastic bags that really isn't in our DNA to do, but from a cost perspective, were much less expensive. We took all the contact surfaces away, like our hot sauces, which we're well known for. We took the hot sauce racks out. you know, we said we can't serve these bottles. There's too much of a contamination factor. And we didn't collect royalty for 5 weeks. We just said, look, we've got to make sure we put every penny back in the franchisees' pockets that we're able to get through. You know, we let people do limited hours. We changed some menus. I mean, we did whatever we could to keep restaurants open. And it would have been easy to shut down, but we found out in a lot of our competitors or fellow restaurateurs, it's not as easy to shut down and try to reopen. From a distribution point of view, getting, you know, and the ripple effect went through every industry. You know, people making our chicken or our turkey, all of a sudden they had issues within their plants on, you know, people not going to work or furloughing people because of the restaurants that shut down. All of a sudden you have, hey, I've got these restaurants that are still operating. I have these other ones that we're not selling product to. We don't know when we will. How do we manage to keep going? How do we keep our company going? So the ripple effects were and still are unbelievable. But fortunately, we made it through. We made some decisions. We kept kind of moving on. We listened to the franchisees. We did what we could. And now we're looking at 15 plus weeks of record-breaking sales.
Oh, that is so great to hear.
You know, it was, you know, we didn't have to lay off anybody at the office, but I mean, there were some pretty sleepless nights, you know, probably 30 to 60 days. And every day we kind of, you know, keep hoping that there'd be light and, you know, a lot of communication. We really cut through a lot of some of the layers and said, we've got to be able to get right to speaking to the field on what we're going to do, how to handle it. I mean, we had scenarios put in place. With feedback from the CDC on what do we do if someone gets sick? What do you do in your restaurant? How do you clean? So we have to be the voice. You have to have the voice of reason or the voice of don't listen to all the other stuff. We've gone right to the experts. This is what you need to do to protect your business. And then the PPP funds. You know, we spent a lot of time helping franchisees to be able to apply for it, find loan avenues that maybe they hadn't thought of to be able to get them resource so that they could keep their doors open. So
that's great. And definitely a lot of hope there. As things evolve and change, we still are in a state of flux. I know some states are in different situations than others, and then having you manage it on a global basis, you know, hats off to you, hats off to the strike team, hats off to Firehouse for really putting people, and those people, as you said, extend beyond just your restaurants. They are your suppliers, your customers, and all of that. So again, listeners, hope you go get a sandwich. They're delicious. My favorite's the salad, quite frankly, but it's awesome. So I think with that, I'm going to pose I'm going to say it's Pete's favorite question, but it certainly is one that I love too, but I'll let Pete claim it. I'm going to take you back, Meg. I'm going to have you think, you know, go back to your maybe 19 or 20-year-old self. You're back in the day when, you know, life was young and frivolous and all of that. And the today's Meg is talking to the 19, 20-year-old Meg, and you look her in the eye and you say, here's something that you need to know. What would that be? Career or otherwise?
You know, it's interesting because I'm a supporter of Gen W with Donna Orander's incredible organization that works with inspiring women. And they asked me to do a session, letter to your younger self. So I did, and the person who was, you know, moderating the group kept saying, you know, you got to go deep, you got to go deep. And I'm like, okay. So I went deep. And so the bulk of what I said, you know, we all have interesting childhoods, we all have interesting family dynamics. And what I said in that letter was to my younger self is like, go and talk to somebody. The things going on in your head are confusing you. Go talk to somebody now. Don't talk to your friends. They can't help you. They might want to, but go talk to somebody. And I really wish I had, you know, it's taken me years to get some of that wisdom out of it. But I think back on a lot of the pain or angst, you know, the point where I said I just didn't talk. I think part of that was from, you know, the family dynamics I had when I was little. And I, you know, I sit that little voice inside of me. I wish I'd let it out. So that's what I would say to my 19 or 20 year old is like, look, you're going to do great things. You know, I know you don't think you can. You know, I think we all struggle with self-doubt. You know, I've got to say every once in a while, I keep waiting for Don to come in my office and go, hey, this is, you put on a good act of being VP, but we figured you out. But then I laugh and go, yeah, no, I do a good job. But, you know, we all, I think, have that self-doubt. But sometimes, you know, I wish I dealt with it much earlier than I did. So that's what I would say.
That's awesome. I think a lot of us could take that advice. So I just want to say thanks, Meg. Thanks for being here with us today and how much we appreciate you sharing, giving us your words of wisdom. And so now it's time to bring in our leadership lessons from Coach Larry.
When I worked in Newark, New Jersey, I used to take the train and walk to and from the train station to the office every day. On this particular evening, I was walking with my colleague, Elizabeth. We just got off the escalator, and this little kid comes running by us and does a face plant right in front of us, you know, like the Superman position. I had a train to catch, so I didn't even stop talking. I stepped over him, and I continued walking. I didn't realize, but Elizabeth stopped to help the kid up and asked, "Are you okay?" Which he was, by the way, and off he went. She caught up to me, but I didn't feel much talkative after that due to my lack of sensitivity and embarrassment. So what does this have to do with leadership? Well, it ties into the concept of emotional intelligence. One of the skills of emotionally intelligent leaders is the ability to demonstrate empathy, which I had not. And clearly, I had not displayed empathy for this little kid. Emotional intelligence as a leader essentially has four parts: self-awareness and self-management. Do you know your typical emotions and reactions? How adaptable and resilient are you? This is the internal part of emotional intelligence, also known as EQ. The external part of EQ has to do with others. The two parts are leadership connections and influencing others. How can you use empathy, transparency to connect with others? And how do you influence others through your optimism and your confidence? Daniel Goleman from the Harvard has done much research and writing on the topic. And simply put, EQ are the things that differentiate you as a leader. Leaders with EQ are much more successful than those who have low EQ. And the good news is, it can be learned. Which leads me to my next point. During this time when people are stressed out, angry, maybe even sick, we need leaders who have a high EQ more than ever. This will be a defining moment for you as a leader. I remember when my wife was hospitalized, my boss's boss called me at home to check in with me. He told me to take care of my family and do what was best for my wife and my kids. I'll never forget that. That made a huge impression on me, and it really showed his leadership. I also remember during tough times feeling completely left alone at work without support. At Mendoza and O'Brien Leadership Development, leading with emotional intelligence is one of our most popular and sought-after webinars. It's a 3-hour webinar that goes deep into EQ, where you learn about yourself, your triggers, your emotions, and you create specific actions to build better connections at work. Here at Mendoza and O'Brien, we're talking and feeling a little bit down about what's going on with COVID-19. We also saw that this is a great opportunity for us to focus on our own development and helping others. A lot of people are feeling uncertain right now, and we want to offer you our full 3-hour Leading with Emotional Intelligence webinar for free. We're going to be using Adobe Connect. To be clear, this is not an in-person workshop. Adobe Connect is an awesome interactive virtual tool. So what we'd like to do is bring leaders together, like you, so you can network with them and make great new connections and learn how to be an emotionally intelligent leader, especially during times of crisis. If you are interested, please email me directly at lobryan@mendozaandobryan.com. Again, lobryan@mendozaandobryan.com. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn and message me. You know, 75% of careers derail because of issues related to emotional competencies. They don't derail when times are easy, but when times are hard, like we are experiencing right now. In this webinar, you will learn how to develop new habits so your career doesn't derail. So please take advantage of this opportunity for yourself and for the people you lead. Things will get better. 6 months from now or a year from now, how do you want to be remembered? Did you step over the kid as you were walking to the train? Or did you stop to lend a hand?
Thank you, Coach Larry. That was great as usual. If you would like to engage with Coach Larry, I would highly recommend you do that. You can simply go to MendozaandObryan.com and you can reach out to them and connect, and I'm sure you'll find that very helpful. Now, what we've all been waiting for, it's time to hear from none other than Boston Danny. Each week, Boston Danny gives us a glimpse into the life of Boston, updates on the loves of his life, which include his family and his sports teams, for sure. And he gives celebration shout outs like nobody else can. Folks, if you ever want Boston Danny to wish you a wicked pizza, I think I said that right, I don't know, of a birthday or something like that, then just send a note by email to Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com and let him know if you've got a friend or colleague that has a birthday, anniversary, they did something great. Go ahead and do that so you can hear none other than Boston Danny. So without further ado, let's hear it, Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here with your Northern Update. Well, it's October, and you know what that means up here in New England. The leaves start changing colors, and the trees are looking spectacular. The weather just gets, you know, it's really beautiful. You got the warm days, you got the cool nights, beautiful working weather for us hard workers. You know how much we love that. Normally we'd be looking forward to all of our favorite teams and going a little bit further into the playoffs, but you know, we've been there, done that, the Celtics, the Bruins, the Red Sox. You know, we've had our troubles this year. We're trying to work through them, but like I said, it's nice to see some other towns getting a chance to celebrate and have some fun with what's going on there. And it's you know, wait till next year, folks. Our Patriots are steamrolling right in there. You know, you guys got your teams down there, and you know, you got Miami, you got Tampa Bay for the hockey, and everything else is looking good. And you know, Tom Brady, he's still a hometown favorite with us, so support him all you can up there. Cheryl and I, we celebrated our 34th wedding anniversary last weekend, September 27th. We went up to Kennebunkport, Maine, which is about an hour and a half north of Boston. So they're full into their fall season. The colors up there are spectacular. Kennebunkport, that's where President Bush had his summer home up there, Walker Point, really beautiful. They still got the facilities up there. Just a really nice section of New England, folks. You get a chance to go up there, you should see it. We took a nice schooner trip Saturday, under sail all the way up and down the coast. It was just really pretty to see the coastline with the beautiful fall colors, the reds, the yellows, oranges behind it. It was just really nice. We had a good time. They've relaxed their COVID. They're into phase three, step two. So, you know, all the breweries and everything, they're full tilt up there. There's a lot of that stuff going on up there. Some wonderful beers if you're into that. We had a good time. It was a great weekend for us. So we got that going for us. So we got your shout outs here. You know, I like to mangle them out for you. So send them to me. So I want to wish a wicked happy pissa birthday to Lindsay Morgan and Kim Session. That comes from her family. And to Big Sean from the gym, the guys, Sean Eaton, Jamie Michaud, and Chuck Ignasti. And that's from Chief Monty. Happy birthday, folks. Remember, it's your day. Celebrate it the way you like it. And a happy 38th anniversary to Brad and Susie. And they sent a really cool then and now picture that Peter needs to get up on the website. Check that out when you can, because the website's awesome. And, you know, let's give our shout-outs to our first responders, our military, retired, active duty, all our nurses and doctors, everyone keeping us safe. And Laurie, you're doing a great job. Thanks for sitting in for Pete. He appreciates it too. Jacksonville, Brothers and sisters, enjoy it. I'll see you next week.
All right, all you hard workers out there, the music tells us it's time for a wrap, but I'll tell you what, you did the best thing you could do for yourself today to show up, listen up, and hopefully you got some good tips. So you just listened to Pete the Job Guy at the PTJG Broadcast Network. I'm Lori Day, your guest host today. Be well.